Mukta Shrayam Yarhe Nirvishayam Viraktam Nirvanam Richati Mana Sahasa Yatarche Atmanam Atra Purusha Vyavadhanam Ekam Anvikshate Pratinivrita Guna Pravaha Mukta Shrayam Yahi Nirvishayam Viraktam Nirvanam Richati Mana Sahasa Yatarche Atmanam Atra Purusha Vyavadhanam Eka Anvikshate Pratinivritta Guna Pravaha Mukta Shrayam Yahi Nirvishayam Viraktam Nirvanam Richati Mana Sahasa Yatarche Atmanam Atra Purusha Vyavadhanam Ekam Anvikshate Pratinivritta Guna Pravaha Mukta Shrayam Yahi Nirvishayam Viraktam Nirvanam Richati Mana Sahasa Yatarche Atmanam Atra Purusha Vyavadhanam Ekam Anvikshate Pratinivritta Guna Pravaha
Mukta Shrayam Yahi Nirvishayam Viraktam Nirvana Vrittati Manasa Yatarche Atmanam Atra Purusha Vyavadhanam Ekam Anvikshate Pratinivritta Guna Pravaha
Thank you. vrishate
Mata James. Ashrayam, situated in liberation, Yarhe, at which time, Nirvishayam, detached from sense objects, Viraktam, indifferent, Nirvana, extinction, Richati, obtains, Mana, the mind, Sahasa, immediately, Yata, like, Archi, the flame, Atmana, the mind, Atra, at this time, Purusha, a person, Avyavadhana, without separation, Eka, one, Anvikshate, experiences, Pratinivritta, freed, Guna Pravaha, from the flow of material qualities. Translation. When the mind is thus completely freed from all material contamination and detached from material objectives, it is just like the flame of a lamp. At that time, the mind is actually dovetailed with that of the Supreme Lord and is experienced as one with Him because it is freed from the interactive flow of the material qualities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the material world, the activities of the mind are acceptance and rejection. As long as the mind is in material consciousness, it must be forcibly trained to accept meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one is actually elevated to loving the Supreme Lord, the mind is automatically absorbed in thought of the Lord. In such a position, a yogi has no other thought than to serve the Lord. The dovetailing of the mind with the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called nirvana, or making the mind one with the Supreme Lord. The best example of nirvana is cited in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, the mind of Arjuna deviated from Krishna's. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, but Arjuna did not want to, so there was disagreement. But after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna dovetailed his mind with Krishna's desire. This is called oneness. This oneness, however, did not cause Arjuna and Krishna to lose their individualities. The Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand this. They think that oneness necessitates loss of individuality. Actually, however, we find in Bhagavad Gita that individuality is not lost. When the mind is completely purified in love of Godhead, the mind becomes the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, Krishna. Let me just read that again. When the mind is completely purified in love of Godhead, the mind becomes the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind at that time does not act separately, nor does it act without inspiration to fulfill the desire of the Lord. The individual liberated soul has no other activity. Prati nivritta guna pravaha. In the conditioned state, the mind is always engaged in activity impelled by the three modes of the material world. But in the transcendental stage, the material modes cannot disturb the mind of the devotee. The devotee has no other concern than to satisfy the desires of the Lord. That is the highest stage of perfection, called nirvana or nirvana mukti. At this stage, the mind becomes completely free from material desire. Yatarchi. Archi means flame. When a lamp is broken or the oil is finished, we see that the flame of the lamp goes out. But, according to scientific understanding, the flame is not extinguished. It is conserved. This is conservation of energy. Similarly, when the mind stops functioning on the material platform, it is conserved in the activities of the Supreme Lord. The Mayavadi philosopher's conception of cessation of the functions of the mind is explained here. Cessation of the mental functions means cessation of activities conducted under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Muktashrayam yahi nirvishayam viraktam. There's a syllable missing. I mean, the Sanskrit is correct, but it's very unusual in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Normally, each line is just perfect in meter and everything. But anyway, Muktashrayam yahi nirvishayam viraktam nirvanam richati mana sahasa yatarchi atmanam atra purusho vyavadhanam ekam anvikshate prati nivritta guna pravaha. When the mind is thus completely freed from all material contamination and detached from material objectives, it is just like the flame of a lamp. At that time, the mind is actually dovetailed with that of the Supreme Lord and is experienced as one with him, because it is freed from the interactive flow of the material qualities. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Chaitanya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vanchikapaturubhyascha Krivasindubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Well, yes, this is a very interesting and important point, although there's a couple of things there in the purport which are a little unusual, you might say, according to our experience with Srila Prabhupada. But if we consider carefully what's being stated, we'll see that it's all consistent and very nice. So, the mind, the yogi as described in all these different verses leading up to this one in this chapter. So the yogi has been through breathing processes, first of all, breathing processes to help focus the mind, or not just focus the mind, but control the mind so that the mind can be focused. And then following that, focusing the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we read, focusing the mind on the form of the Lord, beginning with the lotus feet, and then coming up step by step through the different parts of the body to the face. And then we read the last maybe four or five verses particularly, or thereabouts, the different features of the face of the Lord, which the yogi then focuses his attention on in that way, as explained by Lord Kapila. And of course the Krishna conscious way achieves the same goal, but through a different approach, different program of activity. But one way or another, for us, of course, through the process of practical devotional service with a foundation of hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then doing so many things, worshipping the deities and so on, we come to that point where the mind is focused and one's absorbed in activities for Krishna and remembering Krishna and visualizing, remembering the appearance of the Lord in different features, so it's achieved in that way. For this yogi, it's a little different, as Prabhupada says. As long as the mind's in material consciousness, it must be forcibly trained. But when one has become advanced in Krishna consciousness, then there's no need for anything forcible, really. Particularly in that sense of how to keep oneself in Krishna consciousness and keep engaged. It just flows naturally from the heart. It flows naturally from the heart because, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, because love arises. When love has arisen for anyone or anything even, then there's no need for force to be used to keep the mind on the lovable object, but rather one will not be able to stop oneself, one will not be able to stop the mind from its focus. One will not be able to stop. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the elevated stage of Krishna consciousness in Krishna prema. Just like the gopis in the 10th canto, when Lord Krishna had left Vrindavan and gone to Mathura, then the gopis would gather every day and just talk about Krishna in different ways, what he used to do with them, his beauty, how he would dress himself, how he would be decorated, what he did, how he interacted with them, etc. And sometimes the gopis would sort of complain, you could say, that just look at Krishna, he left us, he went to Mathura, he doesn't care about us, he's not thinking about us. And then the gopis would say to each other, so we will not think about him. Yes, let's just, one good turn or whatever deserves another. That sort of idea. So, yeah, he's not going to think about us. We're not going to think about him. And one gopi said, yes, I will not think about how he danced with me. And another one said, yes, and I will not think about he put a garland on me. And another one said, yes, right, and I will not think about how he embraced me. And another one said, and I will not think about whatever, something else that he did. And then they realized, we cannot stop thinking about Krishna. Yes. But this is what Srila Prabhupada, I mean, of course, this is the most advanced level of what Srila Prabhupada's talking about in that regard. When one is actually elevated to loving the Supreme Lord, the mind is automatically absorbed in thought of the Lord. Yeah. And in that way, in that condition, in that state, the advanced bhakti yogi, the advanced devotee, has, Prabhupada says, has no other thought than to serve the Lord. So our training in the Krishna consciousness movement is for that. Sometimes, you know, Prabhupada would use this word training, to train, to become trained and to be trained. Sometimes we might wonder, you know, what exactly is the idea of training, because other than our, at least a lot of the time, other than our classes, which we're so happy that you're all participating in, on a couple of occasions over the last however many months, I came down to the point, of course we did have cameras, but it's a little different. I was giving class on the surface to myself. Yeah, the cameras were there, and so devotees were there, but in terms of an immediate face-to-face audience, I was giving class to myself. Anyway, it's very so nice you're all here. But other than these classes, a lot of the time it doesn't seem like we're being so much trained. Like, do this, don't do that, and now do this, and now don't do that. You know, as one may be used to at school particularly, and university, etc., where it's just an ongoing moment-by-moment process of being instructed and directed and so on. Of course, we definitely do get some actual direction and training in that sense. But the training is there. The training is there. At least if we study the books of Srila Prabhupada, so many instructions are there. How to develop ourselves as devotees, as persons, how to cultivate the state of Krishna consciousness. So like this, through this training, the training in that sort of broader sense, at least oftentimes broader sense than just direct hand-on instruction, but one develops the state, or step by step one progresses towards that state that Prabhupada is talking about here, of being actually elevated to loving the Lord, and then the mind is automatically thinking of the Lord, even to the point, like we mentioned with the gopis, they cannot stop themselves. Even sometimes they try. So that is Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, through the process of training in that broader sense of having some classes, getting some direction, specific direction, but otherwise studying the books, associating with the devotees, and in these ways learning how to live and act according to the science of Krishna consciousness. So gradually one comes to the point that Prabhupada is talking about here, that one finds that one is, in a more natural way, not just a forcible way, but in a more natural way, one finds oneself thinking, okay, what should I do for Krishna now? And here I am, I'm engaged in service to the Lord. So how should I do it? What should my state of mind be? And how should I actually carry out whatever the activity I'm meant to carry out in the Lord's service? How should I do that and do it nicely? Gradually the devotee becomes more and more inclined to think like that, and not just forcibly. Of course, in the beginning, more force is sometimes required. The mind, as we say sometimes, the mind is prone to have a mind of its own and to have its own ideas. What I should, according to my mind, what should I do now or not do now? So in the earlier stages, and just from time to time, a little bit of force may be required, but progress for us as practicing devotees, progress means that more and more in natural ways and not simply forcible ways, we become just inclined to think of the Lord, to think of the Lord himself, to think of his pastimes, to think of his qualities, to think of his instructions, to think of his devotees, and just consider so many things in the way of life of Krishna consciousness. That is a sign, the sign, or a sign of making progress, some progress. We may not be on such a highly elevated level, in fact we're not, but at least if we see that we're becoming inclined in those directions more and more, then we can understand and be encouraged that despite me, despite myself and my shortcomings and so on. But because the process of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, because Krishna is so wonderful, Prabhupada, the spiritual master, the devotees, and just all these things, because it's all so wonderful, it's working on me, despite me. Yeah. So this is nice. This is very nice. And whatever force may sometimes have been needed to have been applied, or even now sometimes we may have to sometimes just correct ourselves a little, but that's the idea. And if we do it nicely, even sometimes when we may have to exert a little force that I should do this and not do that, but the fruit of it, the result, the success is the gradual development of an inclination like that, a natural attraction to Krishna and to serving Krishna and glorifying Krishna. It's very nice. So, this then, Srila Prabhupada said here that, well, we have to dovetail our minds. The essence of the process, in a sense, is to dovetail our mind with the mind of the Lord, means the desires of the Lord. What does Krishna want from us? You know, that may sound like a sort of esoteric question. How would I know what Krishna wants of me? Like, in very specific terms. But Krishna definitely wants that we chant Hare Krishna. At any time, if you chant Hare Krishna, you can be confident that you're doing something that Krishna wants you to do. And otherwise, we have our services. We have the services which are given to us by the authorities, who in those types of respects represent the spiritual master, represent Prabhupada, represent Krishna. So we can take it like that if the authorities told us to cut the kernels off the cob of corn, that's what Krishna wants us to do right now. There's a pretty good chance, at least. But we should also remember that consider that he probably wants us to do it quietly. Which you're doing so nicely. You know, how many classes have I given in which the devotees, you know, Sunday morning, they're going to prepare for the Sunday feast, in which the devotees come in with bowls of potatoes and all sorts of things, and it's clunk, clang, and other sound effects. How many times, I couldn't say. And we have to say, you know, if you wouldn't mind, could you please? So yeah, he wants you to do it. So you're doing what Krishna wants. And if you accept it, yes, I will cut the kernels off the cob very nicely. Not just sort of mass production as quickly as possible, but really try and do it nicely so we get as much as possible off the cob without including pieces of the cob, and you get the idea. Then you can take it. This is what Krishna wants from me. I have dovetailed my desire with the desire of Krishna. In other words, another way of putting it is that I have accepted as my desire what is the desire of the Lord. Prabhupada talks about this here, that this dovetailing is called nirvana, or making the mind one with the Supreme Lord. One. It's a very special, it's a very specific conception of oneness. It's not just some sort of very generalized thing, but there's a very particular sense of oneness. That, and Prabhupada then goes on to explain, saying, Prabhupada says, the best example of this, nirvana, making one's mind one with the mind of the Lord, or accepting the desires of the Lord and making them our desires. Prabhupada says here, the best example is there in Bhagavad Gita with Arjuna. That's exactly what he did, as Prabhupada explains, and we're all very familiar with that. That in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter particularly, and even a little bit in the very beginning of the second chapter, even though Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, but Arjuna really didn't want to fight. He had other desires of his own. And Krishna was a little bit presenting his desires. But Arjuna was saying, no, I have a better desire. My desire is better than your desire. So I'm going to stick with my desire. My desire is not to fight for this reason and that reason. That's all there. We're all very familiar with that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. But then Lord Krishna explained again and again in so many ways. Lord Krishna explained why what Arjuna was desiring was not the best thing, the right thing, and that better to desire differently, as Krishna was advocating, to actually fight for the pleasure of the Lord, to achieve a result for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Arjuna, of course, as we all know very well, Arjuna eventually came to the point, yes, now I will do what you say. Now I'll do what you say. So, in this way, a state of oneness, making the mind one with the Supreme Lord, but in this very specific way, that state of oneness was achieved by Arjuna. In that sense, that he was thinking and desiring as the Lord was thinking. Instead of thinking, I don't want to fight for this reason and that, now he was thinking, as Krishna was thinking, I should fight. Krishna was thinking, you should fight. Arjuna was then thinking, I should fight. And desiring, I should fight to win. I should win the fight. Both of them were thinking like that. So there was oneness. There is very specific, clear oneness, but in that very specific sense. And as Prabhupada says, that this oneness did not cause Arjuna and Krishna to lose their individualities. This is a classic point in Vaishnava philosophy, that the Mayavadis, they take this idea of oneness in a different sense, in a more general type of sense, that we just merge with everything and everyone and it all just becomes one and there's absolutely no individuality of any sort. It's just a total merge. So that, of course, that is not the Vaishnava perspective. but rather when the mind becomes purified through being engaged in the process of devotional service and the activities of devotional service, then the mind in natural ways, not forced ways, but the mind becomes more and more inclined to just think in any situation, oh, what would please Krishna here? What should I do here under these circumstances for the pleasure of the Lord? How would the Lord like me to do this particular activity which I've been requested to do in his service? And this is a type of oneness. This is Vaishnav oneness. And it's a very sacred, the most sacred type of consciousness, rather than that very strange type of consciousness of overlooking the differences and the different individualities around us. So, yes, so this is what, that's Krishna consciousness. We've explained before, I don't know if you recall, in the story, in Chaitanya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, even in more detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's the story of the deliverance of Jagai and Madai by Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Nityananda's role in the whole event was, you know, very extremely crucial. That Lord Nityananda, because he understood the desire of Lord Chaitanya as Patita Pavan to deliver the most fallen, and because he could see so vividly that Jagai and Madai were actually the most fallen, he then decided that even despite their fallenness and the extreme fallenness, and even despite their violence towards him and Haridas Thakur, despite all of that, because he understood the desire of Lord Chaitanya, and he had accepted it and made it his desire, and was really feeling that I must do what I can to help these two by giving them Krishna consciousness. So as a result, they were delivered. Of course, we all know that the story very well. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he comments on the point that at the end, well, just when everything was coming to the climax, in fact, when Lord Nityananda was physically attacked, particularly by Madai, and was bleeding, and Lord Chaitanya appeared on the scene with his Sudarshan Chakra and was just about to totally destroy Jagai and Madai, then Lord Nityananda appealed to Lord Chaitanya, please don't spare their lives and give them to me. In other words, I will help them, I'll train them, I'll instruct them, I'll give them shelter and help them become Krishna conscious. And Lord Chaitanya, he agreed that, all right, then, if it's your desire, then, okay. And he didn't kill them. And then they became members of the entourage of particularly Lord Nityananda, but also, of course, Lord Chaitanya. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on that in a very interesting way, that Lord Nityananda had done all of that because he had accepted the desire of Lord Chaitanya and made it his desire to deliver the fallen Patita Pavan. So, and then when Lord Chaitanya came, Lord Nityananda's desire for their deliverance was greater than Lord Chaitanya's desire to deliver them. Lord Chaitanya's desire was to destroy them, not preach to them or convert them or something of that sort. So Lord Nityananda's desire, or sort of his manifestation of the desire of Lord Chaitanya, was stronger than Lord Chaitanya's. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that a person's desires, they define who is the person. What is the person? The person's desire. We are defined as devotees because we desire to practice Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we're here. Our lives are defined by our desires. So in that sense, the nature of a person is defined in terms of their desires. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that because Lord Nityananda's desire to deliver the fallen Jagai and Madai was stronger than Lord Chaitanya's desire, although Lord Nityananda was desiring, because it was the desire of Lord Chaitanya, and that was his oneness. So he says that, therefore, in that sense, Lord Nityananda was more one with Lord Chaitanya than Lord Chaitanya was one with himself, which is a bit, something unusual, but if you think about it, you'll see. And it's an interesting perspective. Yes. So that's Krishna consciousness. There's this last point that Prabhupada makes in the purport about the flame, which is mentioned, of course, in the verse itself. The mind. In the verse it says, when the mind is free from material contamination, completely detached, it is like the flame of a lamp. Yes. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about this at the end. That yatarchi, archi means flame. When a lamp is broken or the oil is finished, we see that the flame of the lamp goes out. But according to scientific understanding, the flame is not extinguished. It is conserved. This is conservation of energy. You know, if you studied physics at school, I imagine we probably all did to some degree. Conservation of energy and manifestations of energy in different ways. So the thing is that with the lamp means the wick is there, and it's being, in the case here of an oil lamp, the wick is being fed by the oil, but somehow or other Prabhupada says maybe the lamp is broken or the oil is finished, but the wick is still there. So, you know, if you just apply fire again to the wick, it'll start burning again, or you replace the oil and then apply, light the wick again. So the flame is not really extinguished. It's still conserved there. You just have to do something to get it going again. So, similarly, when the mind stops functioning on the material platform, it is conserved in the activities of the Lord. It is conserved in the activities of the Lord. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about what is action and what is inaction. One who sees inaction within action and action within inaction certainly sees things as they are. To which you can understand, some person might say, wait a minute, Krishna, I think you're a little confused there. But one who sees inaction in action means that one who sees that the devotee is rendering service to Krishna, doing different things, but actually on the material level the devotee is inactive because there's no karma being incurred. And then on the other hand, one who sees action within inaction, someone like, particularly a good example is the Jains, that the most staunch of the Jains, they wear masks. Oh, yes, that's interesting, isn't it? The really staunch Jains wear masks. I guess they feel really at home with the virus. Anyway, they do. And you see photos sometimes. And Prabhupada met with some Jain, and there are photos. The Jain's got a mask on. Because they're trying, and when they walk in the street, they sweep. They have a little sort of broom sort of something. And they sweep right in front of their feet as they're walking. And in both cases, they're trying to avoid killing little creatures, either little microbes you may breathe in, or any little whatever little creatures on the ground. In this way, they are trying to be inactive. They're trying not to incur karma. But actually, it's unavoidable to incur karma. You cannot avoid breathing in a few living entities. When you eat, then definitely some, even if you're vegetarian, some living entities have been killed or at least harmed. Like that. And when you're walking on the street, you can't get every single little whatever away from your feet. So it's an attempt at inaction, not incurring karma. But inevitably, action is being performed and they are incurring karma. Because if they decided, you know, if they really took it to the extreme and they decided not to eat anything at all, and not to breathe at all, in order to avoid even the possibility of killing some little living entity, then they would be killing themselves. And that's an action. So even you try to be as inactive as possible, you have to perform action of some sort. So anyway, Lord Krishna talks about that in Bhagavad Gita. So the devotees, Prabhupada says here, similarly, when the mind stops functioning on the material platform, it is conserved in the activities of the Supreme Lord. Means thinking about Krishna, even though materially the mind has stopped. No more thinking about material things. So, yes, the mind is conserved in this sense, in the activities of the Supreme Lord, although extinguished on the material level. So, Hare Krishna. Let us try to merge with the Lord. Oh, just completely merge into the Lord totally. Yes. By engaging in devotional service and making his desires our desires, the desires of the spiritual master, the desires of the devotees, accepting them as our desires and trying to carry them out. This is Vaishnav oneness. Hare Krishna. Any comment? Yes, Mother Jay.
Sometimes in Sankirtan, the people talk about
The comment was, if you didn't hear it, that when we're preaching, like visiting people door to door, meeting people in the streets and so on, sometimes people accuse us, well, say that we should get a job, that we're like being parasitic or just something like that. They can't see. It's the comment. They can't understand, they can't see that actually we're doing the most valuable activity, the only valuable activity actually. And they think because we're not working in the factory from 9 to 5, you know, like in the fish play, what is it? Pick up the box on the conveyor belt, pull the lever, step on the pedal. Pick up the box on the conveyor belt, pull the lever, step on the pedal. Because we're not doing that sort of activity, they think we're just sort of useless, inactive people. But I read a nice comment of Prabhupada's just recently, actually. One devotee said exactly the same thing to Prabhupada, that sometimes people criticize us like this. And Prabhupada's answer was, at that time, that yes, we are the sons of the richest man, so we don't have to work like that. Our father is the richest person, so we don't need to go and work in a silly factory. But we've got better things to do, to give people knowledge. Thank you.
Yes. I have a question. Sometimes it seems like the Lord may have, like in the past time with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, externally Lord Chaitanya wanted something else for Jagannath Maharaj, but Lord Nityananda understood better.
Right.
And we see a similar thing with Krishna and Arjuna at the end, like after the battlefield, I mean, after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Ashwatthama was arrested, Krishna and Bhima seem to have had a different approach of what they wanted. But Arjuna, I think he even states there that he was confused by Krishna's equivocal instructions, and he chose something that actually pleased Krishna, even though externally Krishna wanted something else.
Right.
So it seemed that at that point Arjuna, you know, achieved something that was very high level of Krishna consciousness, to understand something even beyond the external presentation of the Lord's desire. And then sometimes we find in our life as practicing devotees, we may find that we have various authorities that are guiding us, giving us instructions, directing us, directing us. And it happens sometimes that the different authorities may have a different plan for us. And if we follow one's plan, we may not be following the other's plan. So how can we then figure out in our following what is Krishna's desire for us, like in our practical life?
Okay. So the question is basically, sometimes there are conflicting opinions from authorities on what we should do. And how can we decide which one is really, I guess, what Krishna really wants? Something more like that. Well, you know, sometimes Krishna wants you to decide. Yes. Sometimes Krishna wants you to use your intelligence. How would I like to serve Krishna? Sometimes Krishna definitely wants like that. But otherwise, you know, it may depend whose desire should you, are you really more obliged to follow? That's one consideration. Yeah. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jagadananda Pandit advised Sanatan Goswami that you should go to Vrindavan, wasn't it? I think it was, he advised him. I think it was like that. But Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami accepted that. But Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate that. He said, why are you listening to this Jagadananda? He's a new boy. Lord Chaitanya said like that, he's a new boy. Don't do what he says. So that can be a consideration. Whose desire should we actually put into effect or follow? But sometimes Krishna actually wants us to decide. Because he wants to see, do you really want to serve me? Or are you just doing it just because, you know, you're told to do it? These are different considerations in such pictures, but definitely when there's, you know, different people expressing their different desires for us to do different things, first consideration is amongst those people, whose desires should we really accept? And rather than just be whimsical. Because, you know, sometimes devotees shop around. They ask advice from different devotees because they want to get the instruction to do something which they already want to do. But then they want to be able to say, well, you know, he told me to do it rather than I wanted to do it. So that's not good. And in general, in Krishna consciousness, the point of following authority as opposed to, you know, whoever is a very important point in Krishna consciousness. But then sometimes Krishna wants us to wants to see what we want to do for him, if we want what we want to do for him. And other times, you know, I was thinking of a situation which I've been in before the advent of cell phones. You're out doing book distribution somewhere, but then the police come or something happens and you can't distribute books there, you've got to go. So how do you decide where to go? You try calling the temple, there's no one there who, you know, the Sankirtan leader is out. So you have to pray to Krishna. You have to pray to Krishna, please give me some inspiration, give me some guidance. Where should I go to distribute books? It's sort of a related point. how to decide what to do for Krishna. But I would say generally the first thing applies. Who's, you know, I have this desire, you have that desire, the spiritual master has a desire. Which desire should we take? Generally, we should accept the desire from the highest authority, from our highest authority. But otherwise, in special circumstances, we have to make our own decision what to do for Krishna. And it pleases Krishna to see that we're actually desiring to serve him in this way or that. Sometimes some devotees, I mean, it's a variation on the same thing. Sometimes some devotees just have their own desire. They want to serve Krishna in a particular way. And sometimes, you know, senior devotees, when they consider the different considerations, they see, actually, it's a nice thing. It's a good thing. And so they support the devotee's desire to serve Krishna in some way that the devotee has come up with themselves. Because sometimes Krishna wants to see if you want to do something for him. Anyway, those are some thoughts on the subject. Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.